Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you decided to join us today for this edition of The Word Works. Praise God, we're talking about mind renewal meditations, and this will be part two. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your love, your spirit, and your word. We thank you your word can be rich in us, and we can worship you and have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Thank you, sir. Father God, we thank you that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation and knowledge far beyond the words that I speak into the hearts and lives of these your people. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for your spirit within us and your hand on us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about just some different scriptures leading up to a series on mind renewal, possibly. I have to say that because I'm just kind of winging this one episode at a time just to see where it goes. Last time we had talked about Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 20, the parable of the sower that Jesus gave, and he was explaining it. And I want to just give some credit here. A friend of ours, Tommy Scruggs, is a great Bible teacher, and I heard him recently at a home group, and he shared on the Sower Sows the Word, and I think it was a two-part series, and man, was it powerful. And even though I had taught out of Mark chapter 4, he looked at the other versions of this parable and the way it was explained, more so than Mark chapter 4, and it just sparked in me that I needed to really inspect my heart and make sure my motives were pure and my desire was for God and that I would get all the ground fertile in my life and tilled up and ready to receive what God had for me. So now let's look into the next section that I was studying and meditating on in the Word, and I'll show you how this whole thing began to develop in me. Now, I've taught mind renewal for many years, and over the years, I've gotten some great revelation that has helped me and I believe helped others as well. But this time, it came a different route. And that was because I was praying one of Paul's prayers that I pray just about every day. I don't make it religious in a religious tradition of doing it. It's just something I want to do from my heart. And one of these prayers is found in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read up to the verse that really jumped off the page at me. So let's start reading in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, and we'll move on down for a few verses. The prayer that I pray goes Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. It utilizes those verses. Now, starting with verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, and I'm going to stop right there because I've talked about this before, but I pray these over certain people and over myself, over my family, my son, my wife, my son, and different people. And so, and as you pray this over yourself, you'll see revelation knowledge grow. You'll see you yourself grow in different areas. Okay, that he would grant you, or I would say he would grant me, or he would grant my wife, he would grant my son, or different people by name, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, I'm praying this prayer one morning, and all of a sudden, these next words jumped off the page at me. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, it was about the same time that Tommy Scruggs was teaching on the Sower Sows the Word, and I hadn't connected the two here, and it just startled me almost. If I could say, my spirit man leaped, so to speak, and said, wait a minute, there's something here. You need to inspect this. You need to inspect it a little bit more. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, so I was starting to read on to the next part, which says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And I had to go back to that passage, that phrase, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So here's my question, the question that my spirit basically asked me, or the Holy Spirit asked me, what are you rooted in? Bert, what are you rooted and grounded in? Are you rooted and grounded in love? Because if I'm not rooted and grounded in love, what am I rooted and grounded in? So, you know, we know that an English definition we could say of the reciprocal, the opposite of love would be hate. Well, I know I'm not rooted and grounded in hate. I don't feel hate for anyone. But for me, and this is just my perspective that for my life, it immediately came to me that I must be rooted and grounded in some areas in my life in fear, because perfect love casts out fear. That word perfect means mature. So a mature love in Christ gets rid of fear. It turns fear out of doors, one translation says. So if I'm not rooted and grounded in love, am I rooted and grounded in fear? Am I rooted and grounded in pride or strife? Oh my gosh. Well, if I'm not rooted in love, then I must be rooted in torment. Because fear, the Bible says, has torment. Now think about this. I'm not talking about in every area of my life, of course. But at the same time, think about yourself. Are you rooted in love all the time? It's really something to ponder and meditate on. Because you see, my faith gets results based on what I'm grounded in. I'm going to say that again. I was teaching a Bible study recently and somebody basically said, could you say that again? My faith gets results based on what I'm grounded in. If I'm grounded in love, then my faith will work because faith works by love. If I'm grounded in fear, faith does not work by fear. No. I've got to be rooted and grounded in God's love. Praise God. So that can show me how I've got good ground. There are no stones. There are no thorns. There's nothing stopping me because I'm walking in love and love never fails. That's good. I hadn't thought about that. So I looked at some things in my life. Sometimes in my life when I realized fear was trying to grip me and I wasn't rooted and grounded in love. And I went back over my life for many years, and I found at least, and I'm sure there have been a lot more, but these distinct situations stood out to me so that I had to deal with fear, and I didn't do it very well, or I did it very well. I felt like I was being tested in those situations. And the first five, I didn't act too well. I didn't do too well at all. But I got better. And when the sixth situation happened, not too long ago, praise God, I passed the test. Now, I felt like my love roots were being pulled on, so to speak. Praise God. But not uprooted. They weren't uprooted. And I began to pray about the situation instead of complain about the situation. Wow. All right, let's move on a little bit. We're going to get hung up here. There's some good stuff here, good word. But we need to realize two definite things before we can move into mind renewal. Two truths. Number one, and I call Satan the defeated one. The defeated one is defeated. Such a basic, simple truth. But the defeated one is defeated. And number two, we are not mere men and women when we're in Christ. All right? So we'll get to that other one, the second one. But let's look at this first one. The defeated one is defeated. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 from the King James. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. I want to focus on that phrase, that through death Christ might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Destroying him. Destroying him. Amplified Classic says this, that he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Well, I like what I heard many years ago from Janie Grine or Buddy Harrison, when they said, what is naught, that he might bring him to naught? They said it was a zero with the rim kicked off. I love that. Nothing. The devil is nothing. We give him the ability to come against us. But he goes on to say, And the Amplified Classic says, and make no effect, make of no effect. What would that be? He would be fruitless. Jesus brought him to nothing and made him fruitless, who had the power of death. So the fruit of death was made void of power. The Amplified says, regular Amplified or updated one says, make powerless. And I wrote, immediately thought, if Jesus, God through Christ, made the devil powerless, then why does he have power? Well, because we give it to him, all right? All right, so listen, make powerless, Amplified says, I thought about being ineffective. The devil can be ineffective. Jesus made him ineffective. So get this, he wants to make you ineffective and unable to produce results. In other words, to be unfruitful. That's why a spirit of infirmity is such an ugly demon, an inability to receive or produce results. See, that's one of his tools. One of those demonic spirits is his tools. He's trying to pay you back for what Christ did to him. Think about that. See, the devil's trying to pay you back for what Christ did to him, and yet many times as believers, we blame God for what the devil's doing to attack Christ in you. Wow. That's crazy. But yet, most of us have done it at some point in time or another. Blaming God for sickness and disease. Blaming God for what steals, kills, and destroys. But John 10:10 and 1 Peter 2:24 are very clear about what steals, kills, and destroys and sickness. God, just think about that. God's not going to put sickness on you so he can heal you. Well, that's a whole other topic, isn't it? All right. So what else does it say? He brought him to death, that through death he might destroy him. Those words destroy is so key here. Here's some different translations. Berkeley says, neutralize him. Goodspeed says, dethrone the devil, dethrone him. Moffat says, so that by dying, he, talking about Jesus, might crush him, talking about the devil. One of my favorites, though, is Rotherham, which translates that, paralyze him. Praise God, paralyze him. He might paralyze him. And fear paralyzes the devil. Wow. Fear paralyzes the devil. So, I wrote this down. This kind of came to me. The deceived deceiver, we're going to talk about that. He's deceived, and he is a deceiver, is paralyzed with fear and pride. Well, let's talk about pride for just a minute. Isaiah 14:13, Lucifer is saying, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He goes on in verse 14 and says this, I will be like the Most High. Well, he fell, didn't he? He fell, if you read on there. And why is that? Because pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before a fall. And what's so interesting is he is jealous of us. He said, I will be like the Most High God. But praise God, we're like the Most High God, because Genesis 1:26 says that we are made in the likeness, in the image and likeness of God. Praise God. No wonder he's trying to attack you. You've got what he wants. Think about that. Well, not only pride, the deceived deceiver is paralyzed with fear, but he's also paralyzed himself with pride. But let's look at fear now. Fear. The devil is afraid you're going to prove out his defeat. You see, in 1 John 3:8, Jesus came, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy, to make of no effect the works of the devil. And he's afraid you're going to prove out that defeat, that those works are destroyed. You see, the word Christian even means little Christ. So we're little Christ wearing the armor of God. And Satan has seen that armor before. You see, when you stand on the Word of God, you look like Jesus. You talk like Jesus. You act like Jesus. You're using his name. When you meditate on the Word of God and you use that name, he's afraid of that name. Praise God. But let me read that part again that the Lord ministered to me. The deceived deceiver is paralyzed with fear and pride. You see, pride is self-sufficiency. And we don't want to get prideful. So he attempts to paralyze you with fear to deceive you with that which he has deceived himself with. He's been deceived. And he wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive you thinking that fear is going to stop you from believing God. And it will if you allow it to. But we are sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, according to 2 Corinthians 3:5, not our own strength, not our own sufficiency. We are free in Christ's love. And the revelation of God loving us through Christ is revolutionary. That revelation of God loving us through Christ is revolutionary. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. Fear leaves when love enters. Praise God. Fear leaves when love enters. We're going to take up here next time and go into verse 15 and then go into another scripture or two as we talk. Continue to talk about meditating on the Word and mind renewal meditations. Father God, I thank you for this believer. As they get in the Word, they're going to see more and more, as we both will, all will, that your Word brings results. Your Word is the answer. Your Word is what can put us over and bring us liberty. Praise God. Help this believer to see that the defeated one is defeated, that we're to be rooted and grounded in love, Father God, and that the devil has been brought to naught, to nothing, and fruitless, and we're to prove out that fruitlessness of him. We're to prove out his defeat, because he's paralyzed with fear, because he's seen this come at him before, and he's paralyzed and stopped because of his pride. Father, thank you that we rid ourselves by your word, and we ask for your help to rid ourselves of fear and pride in our lives so that we can be rooted and grounded in love and rooted and grounded in what you desire, and we'll have the fruit of the word working in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at bertandjoe.com. That's BERTANDJO.com. And remember, the Word works.